Welcome back to the Cheryl Reeves Show. I am proud to say that I now, like Cheryl, live in Minneapolis. So we are both Minneapolis residents. I've just moved back to the city, just went to a local establishment I hadn't been to in a long time. Cheryl, I am so glad to be out of the far suburbs and back down in Minneapolis, and the city does feel like it's bouncing back.
Yeah, I love living in Minneapolis. We have kind of best of all the worlds. You know, it's such a great city in terms of being able to, like, for me to be able to walk down the street and drop a kayak in and be on a lake and have the skyline, you know, the beautiful skyline, you know, right there, you know, a mile away. So I love it. I love getting out. I love going out to eat. I love all that. And I agree. It does feel like there's definitely been, I think the Final Four probably helped that along a little bit, women's Final Four. But yeah, glad you're back. Glad you're one of us now.
Yeah. And I think the combination of the Final Four, you know, bringing a lot of people downtown for a really, you know, just a blast of a weekend, and the Wolves being good has helped as
the
well.
Wolves, absolutely. That's exactly
yeah.
Right.
And that's a cool thing about sports is that, you know, sports isn't always a panacea. It's not always a cure all, but it can help. It can help the right teams do well in the right events. It can absolutely help a city. And that's why I would even for sports, I don't necessarily love. I love it when they're included in the community because they bring in different people. They enliven the atmosphere of wherever you live.
Well said. Well All said. Right. The beauty of sports.
Yes. Have you seen Dream On yet?
You know, I haven't. I haven't recorded or not recorded, but it's a streaming thing. So I actually navigated to it and I just got to carve out some time to watch it. I haven't done it yet, but have heard a lot about it and I'm really excited to watch it. Did you watch it?
I'm with you. I'm behind on everything since I've been moving. I hope to catch up with it this weekend. I have had a lot of people I like and respect rave about it, say it's just a great show and that it was a turning point for women's basketball and women's sports.
It really was.
And it sounds like Tara was just fantastic.
Yeah. I you know, hanging around Dawn and going through the Olympic process with Dawn over the last 8 years, I heard a lot about that team and Tara and yeah. Incredible time. It feels like it was just yesterday. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but clearly it was. I don't know that we talk about that team or those players and their careers enough. You know, it's kind of what we do. We move on to the next thing and the next great player. But we have so much to be thankful for that they provided for us to be where we are now.
I have a follow-up question on that. Do want to reintroduce the show. This is the Cheryl Reeves Show, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We recommend subscribing to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. You can also go to TalkNorth.com and see our full lineup of outdoor shows, variety shows, sports shows. We've added a bunch of hockey stuff, the Prosser Brothers. We've added Dave Lee from WCCO. Of course, with the outdoor stuff. This is one of my favorite shows on the network. And thank you to our sponsors who make it possible. Livia, Rudy Luther Toyota, Cara Quinn, Successful Marketing Group, All Energy Solar, and TSR Injury Law. And thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton, as always. So help me, where were you in your life and your career during the time that Dream On was being made real?
Well, I was actually just getting my first opportunity to be a head coach in college. 1995 was my final year at GW. We had just come off of an incredible season. We were sixth in the nation. I think we lost in the Sweet 16 of the tournament that year, but just then going out and wanting to be a head coach. So I was just kind of getting into that next phase of my career.
Cool. And I can't remember, were those games easily accessible? Were they on TV?
Of course not.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, that's too bad. And that's a shame.
That's actually right. Yeah, no, it was not easily accessible. It's not necessarily all that easily accessible now when we go and when we play abroad and, so you can imagine, you know, that many years ago. And that's unfortunate because it was, like I said, quite the dream team, the team to watch.
No doubt about it. And speaking of Team USA, you are now the coach of Team USA. Anything new happening with that program right now?
No, we're all just kind of gearing up for the next steps, which is the World Cup in Sydney. So we're kind of going through and just planning our, you know, kind of pre-Sydney work, you know, as a team. And what we're doing now is just basically the committee and myself just keep an eye on players, watching the trends, and you know, as we try to put a team together to go over there and win the World Cup over in Sydney, Australia.
Having any WNBA players just kind of befriend you at this certain juncture in your coaching career?
No, I think I haven't seen that. I haven't noticed that. Gosh, I thought it was just my charming personality.
It is. No doubt it is.
But no, I haven't sensed any of that. And, it's still, it gets hard, no question about it. But the pool is pretty large right now. And everybody's, I think they're focused on the WNBA season, and the committee's going to have, some, as they always do, you're going to leave some players off that, are having good seasons and maybe not quite right, right now being their time. But it's, I think in terms of, what we have the opportunity to do from a team perspective, and everyone that's in the pool is talented. But only 12 get to make it. And so, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And, I'm excited about that, to get to September and see what we can do and get to work and what style of play and that sort of thing. So I've really enjoyed watching players for other teams and start to think about how we could use them.
I did see Kelsey Plum having a conversation with you post game, your last game in Vegas, maybe giving you a hug. So I was just wondering,
I actually sought them out. I sought Al Asia and Chelsea and Plum.
I wanted to ask you today about Nafisa Collier. First of all, how's she doing? And second of all, just how much do you miss a player like that?
Fee's doing quite well. We've been in touch, and she very much wants to be back in market. So she has begun the process of that planning and trying to get herself ready to be back in market and, get some work in. I just want her to be around. She wants to be around. And that leads into the last part of your question, which is how much do we miss Nafisa Collier? I would say immensely in different ways. We miss Fee the person and who she is when she's around and what she brings out of other people. She has the ability to connect. She's very natural that way. So you always enjoy, being around her. Fee loves the franchise, loves practicing, loves kind of, being a Lynx and what that means and the responsibility that goes with that and being a great player for the Lynx. We certainly miss that. There's no question about it. I use the word exposed. We have some players that are exposed without Fee. And that would be true for any team when you take a player of that caliber out of it. Then everyone else is kind of maybe charged with doing a little bit more. And some people can and some people can't. And so I think for Fee, that's her value is the game comes easy for her. She plays really hard. She trusts in coaches. She trusts in teammates. And, those sort of things are contagious. And there's a pretty big void as it pertains to all of that with Fee. So it will be nice to have her progress enough to be able to be in market and get some workouts in. And, we'll see where it goes. But, there's things that she has. She can't rush into it, right? She still has to – I think she's only 3 weeks. I think baby's only 3 weeks. So as much as her mind might want things to go faster, her body's got to kind of come back together, type of thing. And we just want to be cautious as well, make sure we're doing the right thing for Fee, but I know she wants to be back in market and get back to playing. She really, really misses it.
And will your willingness to, or I don't know how to exactly phrase it. Do you want her to play at some point this season just to get her back playing? Or would your situation in, let's say, the playoff race determine, how hard you would try to get her back on the court?
Yeah, I understand the question. We're going to get asked that a lot, I think.
Yeah.
I think there are a few reasons why Fee wants to play. I think what we have to do is evaluate whether that is what's best for Fee. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know that. You have to just kind of like look at the, the timing and, what does she look like? How's her core? We just have to go through and evaluate. Is it really the best thing for Fee to get back on the court? I know Fee aspires to be on the World Cup team. I know that Fee aspires to play with Sylvia Fowles. Those would be motivations. If our team somehow, finds their way into the hunt of the playoffs, and she would like to, obviously help our team in any way possible. But just know that regardless of whether she plays, her being around is going to be very good for the culture of our team.
I'm going to ask you about some other Olympians, but first of all, tell us about Livia, please.
I'm so excited. You know, like right now in life, I'm going to take all the small successes, and we had our reminder that I'm doing Livia, as we talked about, my like choosing me, my overall health, my knees, my back. And I have been so excited about how good I have felt physically. And I've made such great progress. And, you know, when you do these things, and you have to really commit. And it's not been easy, especially as our, you know, our team has struggled. And I very much could easily reach for the pint of Ben and Jerry's and kind of fall back. And so it's been a, you know, I mean, it's been a commitment, and, you know, through difficult times, and have been felt incredibly supported by the folks at Livia, particularly Connie Dixon, and who now, by the way, has become addicted to the Minnesota Lynx. So that's been fun. The partnership's been amazing. But for me, just kind of meeting thresholds of, you know, since mid-March, you know, to be down 20 and a half pounds, to have lost 11 inches cumulative, different parts of my body. What that means is that's all weight that's not going to my knees. Now, I'm not an athlete trying to, you know, be able to perform. I just want quality of life and the energy that I have. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, it doesn't take me as long to kind of get my steps together, you know, cause my back is still sore, or my knees. So I'm just thrilled, and just a shout out to the folks at Livia, cause it's been a godsend for me in my life right now.
Well, that's good news. Good to hear. Hey, back to basketball. It sounded like even though the result wasn't what you wanted, you were encouraged by the way your team played against Seattle.
Well, I thought we competed with passion and energy and a connectedness, and I thought we had great will. Probably one of the games that I felt like you look out there and, you know, like you just felt connected to everything that they were doing. They felt connected to each other. No, we didn't play perfectly, you know, but that's never the goal. You're not trying to play perfectly. That's not realistic. You're trying to limit your mistakes and, you know, grow as a team. So the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, don't repeat. You know, if we're telling you don't throw the ball over the top, throw a bounce pass, then start to lock in on the attention to detail. Be passionate about what you're doing. Connect with your teammates. And I thought we did those things. And ultimately, it came down to a few possessions. It was a tie game. They came out of a timeout. They executed their play. We were there. We got there. Brianna Stewart's a really good player. You know, she makes a shot. We get the ball. And you know, we just didn't have a level of execution offensively that we needed to get us over the top. As I told them, you know, we always talk about, it's not, you know, winning and losing, it's about how you do it, right? And kind of, you know, when you're in that game, you can be, you know, pleased with the effort and just want to get better. Okay, well, let's work on this execution of that or the execution of this. I thought that the effort and the energy and the passion were there, and their want to and their will was there. Does that mean we've turned the corner? I don't know. I just know that it was present. If it was present more often, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. But if we're growing into it, that would be great. And let's see where it takes us.
I have a few more questions for Cheryl. We do want to thank our sponsors, starting with Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
This is the time of year where we have a brief moment between paying high utility bills to keep your home or business warm to paying high utility bills to keep your home or business cold. In most parts of the country, energy rates are rising or have already gone up. You're probably already noticing it on your bill, just like we're all noticing it at the gas pump. Solar Energy can help you lock in energy rates and give you peace of mind knowing your energy costs won't rise along with fossil fuel costs. Solar panels last 25 to 30 years, giving you a good idea where your energy is coming from for decades to come. For this and many of the other reasons we've listed over time, as All Energy Solar has been sponsoring this program and our network, you want to check out allenergysolar.com, allenergysolar.com. Also want to tell you about Sete Coli. that is Italian, and it's coming from my realtor, Cara Quinn. That is the name of her new business. She's branching out on her own because she has so much expertise that goes beyond simply being a realtor, although she's a great realtor. Sette Colli is a family-owned Twin Cities-based home remodeling, real estate, and property management company offering personalized service and outstanding client care. It means Seven Hills. That's a nod to the Seven Hills of Rome, Italy. They handle home remodeling, realtor services, property managing, and wraparound services. Like, let's say you're a homeowner considering a home improvement project. Cara Quinn can help you evaluate the impact of a remodel on your home's market value. If you're a prospective home buyer, Cara can help you assess the cost and the logistics of updating the home you're buying. We're going through all this right now with Cara as we get our house ready for market. I'm going to be telling about the other ways they can help you, but just remember SETTECOLLI. So Sue Bird makes it official. This will be her last season. We have Sue Bird and Sylvia Fowles leaving the WNBA. I don't know whether we should talk about their legacy or what the league's going to look like without them, but they've been such key players, Olympic team, popularity of the sport, statistical dominance, championships. It's going to be different without them.
Really different. And the teams, like a Seattle Storm or Minnesota Lynx, forever changed without those great ones. And what happens is you get new players, right? That kind of like that cycle kind of continues. You get new players and a new era and that sort of thing. There'll be other great players. It just will never look the same. No one will ever be like Sylvia Fowles. No one will ever be Sue Bird for that team. And those of us that have coached and been around those type of great players know exactly what that means and what that feels like when they're on the floor and what they're able to bring out of their teams. And so I hope we celebrate the heck out of, as we know, like with Sylvia Fowles and, opposing teams have been tremendous in honoring Syl. Now that Sue has talked about this being her final season, I hope we see the same thing. People coming out and just, supporting and cheering for, really, really great players that have given every possible thing to the game and have loved that. That's my favorite thing about these players is that they have loved every second of their time as professional basketball players in their careers. And that's why you see them having enjoyed such incredible careers and no doubt that they'll continue to impact the game, whether or stay involved in the game. These are people that will continue to, it'll just be from a different space, not on the court.
Yeah, and both great people, obviously. And you got any favorite moments you remember from working as a coach with Sue?
I think favorite moments with Sue, you have Sue the player, I think coaching against her probably more. I have more moments mm-hmm. than with her, but when I'm on her side, it's much more fun. When she's got the on time, on target, her recognition of where the ball needs to go when, it just doesn't come along very often when you have point guards that, Sue's no doubt about it, almost in a class by herself with her ability to, versus a hedge, versus a switch, versus this, versus that. You can't, I always said this about Sue, you can't stay in the same coverage with Sue because just she's seen it all and she knows exactly what steps to take. And you watch a Sue run offense, the movement that you get and her ability to make the players around her better. Of course, she knows the game, her leadership in huddles. She's able to simplify things and communicate clearly to a player what needs to happen. And obviously her individual game, her ability to, her timely three balls that, she won't look like she's all that interested offensively for three quarters. And in the fourth quarter, she'll score 12 on you in a hurry. just to be that good because she knows that's exactly what was needed her at that time. We saw obviously with the Olympic team, her leadership, her ability to, what I love about both Sue at the age of 41, still not quite 41, but for those players to continue to take care of their bodies and respect the game and their individual games and what they want to be, sprinting to the finish line, they gave literally everything that they have and their want to and their desire to continue to do that through the years. Their passion for the game is just something that I'll always have a great appreciation for because it's not easy to do. it really starts to hurt after a while. And Sue having knee injuries and hip injuries and nose injuries and whatever, just still wanting to get out there and that passion for it. Same thing with Sylvia Fowles. You don't think these off seasons are hard. You know, like she always talks about, you know, she always sends me pictures of her sand pit that she does her work in. And she's like, I hate this place, you know, but it's like a love-hate relationship because, you know, she knows it's necessary so that she can be, you know, as great as she is this far into her career.
Good stuff. How is Sylvia coming along right now physically?
She's coming along well, and just as you'd expect. I mean, she's worked her tail off and, you know, we need some cooperation with that, you know, with that knee in terms of its response to some of the treatment. Still was in practice today, which was great. Wants to be available for us, and we have to just kind of take it day by day and see how, you know, things respond after a day of work, and hopefully the joint effusion, which is just swelling, hopefully that will be pretty mild and cooperate with Silda so she can move and play like she wants to play.
Does the new TV contract signed by the MLS, is that for someone in your situation, do you find that encouraging that, you know, the money is out there, or is it driving crazy because it didn't go to the WNBA?
Well, you know, I think the nice thing is that from a timing perspective, we're about to negotiate a new deal, right? It's, mm-hmm. it's done in 2024. So I'd imagine those conversations have already begun. And I think that the obvious thing is, you know, a long time with women's sports, the narrative has always been that the naysayers and the people that don't believe in it, don't think it can be successful, will say, well, you know, the reason why you're not on TV is because no one cares or no one's watching. And so now we have tangible evidence called ratings that shows us that people are indeed watching, and they're watching more than they're watching the MLS. Even the NHL and some of their regular season ratings, that the WNBA is darn close to that as well. And so it's like I always talked about when I first got to Minnesota and I kind of gathered the media people and say, hey, like, how can we, you know, get more coverage? What do you need from us? You need more flexibility, this, that, and the other we can do to help. And then one of the first things that was said was that, well, of course you have to win. And, you know, I kind of looked at all of them and I go, but I don't understand. The teams here in the market at that time were not very successful. Mm-hmm. So clearly that's not the barometer for coverage of men's sports. Nope. And so we have to recognize how we apply different rules to women's sports in a way that it's, you know, been held down for years. And so if the metric truly is ratings, which we've been told for years, and if the MLS can get 250 million, then it would stand to reason that the WNBA would also get in the range of 250 million. And anything less than that to me would be unacceptable. There's many people that go, okay, well, we've gotten 25 million from ESPN, which is one of the greatest bargains in TV rights history. $25 million a year versus 250 million. You can understand the impact that it has on each sport. You know, if the WNBA has $250 million, do you know how much we could solve with that ability? We could keep players home. We could pay them more. We could do so much more in terms of the resources that we put into this thing and how you can move between that and sponsorship dollars, which we get less than 5% of the global marketing dollar. Those are two areas which are going to substantially change the WNBA and other professional sports. And so if that's the standard, if ratings are the standard, then we should see $250 million in this next deal. And that's, you know, perhaps we need competition. You know, somebody that's going to say, raise their hand and go, yeah, we see great value. This is a growth stock. And it is time that we as the WNBA, the stakeholders that are involved in this, that we don't settle for less. We do not do what we did last time. Was it exciting in 2014 to get an ESPN deal for 10 years? Yes, indeed it was. But it was not the right thing to keep a flat number throughout the entire course of that contract. And so women are made to feel like we don't deserve things. And so we end up accepting things for fear that that opportunity would go away. And I really hope that our decision makers will have a different mindset, a growth mindset. If that's what had to happen in 2014, but how about we go, like, after 5 years of your commitment, let's talk about if we reach these thresholds, let's grow that rights fee. And there was no vision of growth in those 10 years. And we have been a great bargain for the better part of 5 years. And so now the approach that we come from, you know, it's like when you buy a car, You know, do you want to work down from the MSRP or up from the invoice price, right? So that's the same thing. So if we're going to work up from 25 million and you ask for 100, you feel like you made great progress. Well, that's doing your league a total disservice because we are worth more than $100 million. We are worth what they're paying the MLS when the ratings of the MLS are not as good as the WNBA. And anything less than that would be a massive disappointment in my view.
You know, well said. Well said. I appreciate that. Speaking of misogyny, it just came to my attention. I've never been one of the people who jumped on the Bill Simmons bandwagon. He became very popular kind of out of nowhere, became a major voice around the NBA and sports in general. And so I just had somebody point out to me some of the crap he's gotten away with over the years. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't followed Bill Simmons lately. I kind of dismiss some of the derogatory things that he has said. I just don't spend a lot of time, paying attention to those type of people.
Sure.
I don't know
sure.
what he's doing these days. I don't know. Did he say something?
He's
got a daughter now, so he's been a little better.
Yeah, I guess. I never really paid attention, and somebody just put together a list of all the misogynist things he said over the years. And I was, frankly, I never really liked him, but now I really don't like him.
I hope his daughter reads all of it.
Oh, good Lord.
I hope his daughter reads every bit of it.
Yeah, no doubt. So Steve Kerr, I imagine being as part of Team USA, you've gotten to know Steve Kerr a little bit. Were you happy to see the, I don't know if you have rooting interest in the NBA finals, but I wanted to see what you thought of the job Steve Kerr did this year.
Well, and you can see the emotion. What I love is the emotion of a coach is pure happiness, right? Like this, you can actually smile now, you reach the summit, and then the players, they've gone through a lot, right? Like they really had it all. And then they had that injury, stretch, and you're not sure whether you're going to get back. You saw that with Steph Curry. You don't know if you're going to get back. They got back. You don't know when you get back if you're going to win. You win. You have a great appreciation for how hard it was to do it. And so thrilled, thrilled for – I'd be thrilled for, Udoka as well with Boston because it's just an incredible accomplishment.
Thanks again to all of our sponsors, and thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com.